Scene Mom says, welcome to the new podcast from former Phoenix radio host Danny Cutler. Each week, bringing you independent music, industry news, the occasional interview, and other fun segments. Let's get to it. Mom says, welcome to episode number 9. That was a new single from Phoenix artist Ozzy, and it's called Better Now. It will be released to the wild on Friday, March the 8th. I hope you all had a fantastic week. I wanted to open with Austin's new song because I believe he is going to be playing with my interview guest for a live album recording that is happening in April in Phoenix. Yes, that's right. I have another interview lined up for you on the show with a wonderful human being that everyone needs to know, James Austin Murray, or as he's known in the music world, Jam Now. I just call him Jammy Jam because I'm Scene Mom. We had a great conversation about his new single, Dead Flowers, which is now available everywhere you stream or buy music. And we also dive into his musical roots, his time as part of the Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Center, and we touch a bit on music promotion as well. He is actually an artist who is not schlepping his stuff over on TikTok, so had a good conversation about that. Also, a reminder that Scene Mom Says merch is now available over on Threadless. And it's not just items with the Scene Mom Says logo, but also I put some cool music quotes together that I thought would be fun for anyone to wear or have on something. And you can check it out over on Threadless. And of course, I will link in the show notes. All right, well, let's get back to the music with one more song, and then we will go right into the conversation that I had with Jam a couple of weeks ago. This is Dan E.T. and Round Trip, and I chose this because Danny also plays trumpet on Jam's new single. C-Mom says, take a listen.
Take a little more than you think you need, and you might find the words that hide behind the corners of the mind. If you're listening, I think they know more than they're telling me. And if you want to know, they'll show and tell, and they don't care at all if you disagree. Feels like I've been here before, in a time machine not teleport.
Edition of the Scene Mom Says podcast. I have another guest in, well, I almost said in the studio, going back to my radio days, in the studio, sort of in my studio, I guess, via Zoom. This artist, we met because of when I worked at KWSS Radio in Phoenix. And I mean, I've known him in 2016, back when he was a member of Vintage Wednesday. Talk about throwback. Vintage. Oh my gosh. And yeah. We actually met through an awesome organization too called Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Foundation. He's also played many shows supporting KWSS. He's also a successful solo artist, and he's got a new single and an album on the way. 2016, Jam, that's when I met you.
That's wild. So yeah. I'm a musician, not a mathematician. How long ago was that?
Wait, it's 2024, so 8 years.
That's what I thought.
Cool. Something like that. Yeah. Welcome to my new show.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and to share this time with you and everybody listening.
Oh, it's just good to see you again. I mean, what I love most about a lot of the relationships and people that I've connected with over the years is that some of them have become actual friends, and you are one of those people. And aww. I just got just a standing pass. Whenever you want to come on the show, you just let me know. We make it happen.
Thank you so much. Oh, I love man. You, Danny. You're the bomb.
I was looking through some old photos too. And man, when I met you, or this long-haired hippie guy.
Yeah, that's true.
You still have the hippie part though.
I hope so. Is it the shirt?
It's your whole vibe.
It's funny, like I have a friend of mine. He used to have a band called Ito and the Moonlight Hippies, and he was like, "I gotta change the name because like hippie has like this negative, like, you know, connotation with it." And I'm like, I think that there's also positive connotations that come along with hippiness too.
Yes, 100%. It's like with any label. You say hippie and you already have a preconceived notion of who a person is, right?
Yeah. Yin
Whether
yang, yin
that's good
yang.
or bad, it just
Right.
depends on your view.
Yeah,
My view is
absolutely.
good. My
My view is good.
view
Well,
is good, you know. All right, let's get into it and go
okay.
back. Since it's your first time on this show with a little broader audience, I want to go back a little bit. Where did your whole interest in becoming a musician stem from?
That's a good question.
You can't say birth.
Well, I basically came out of the womb, no, just with
With
a
a
guitar.
guitar.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. No, I from the age of about, I would say, 4 years old, my mom and dad put, you know, instruments in my hands, and I would sing and, you know, perform in the living room for my family, and just, you know, just do what kids do and party and perform. You
No, I
know,
love it. So
nothing's
how
changed either. No.
you're just older and you can do it all legally. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so weird knowing that I knew you like pre-age 21. It's just crazy.
That is crazy. That is, man, when you put it like that, Danny,
Am literally
wow.
your scene mom. Okay.
You are. Respectfully
So
so.
I mentioned a little earlier, Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Foundation, an awesome foundation in, I mean, it's, I think they have a national branches and they've got two
I
in
don't know if they've
Phoenix.
expanded out of Arizona yet, but they definitely were instrumental
They've been
in
talking
my
about
musical
it.
upbringing. Yeah.
So what way did the foundation, how influential was it with you in helping you begin your music career?
Well, I just want to focus on Alice because not entirely Alice, but everybody at his teen center, you know, is it's just a group of people of great integrity, you know, and honor. And but Alice in general, like, you know, he would teach like his songwriting classes and stuff like that, and he'd, you know, come in, and it was just an honor to be able to like learn from a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and just learn from a legend in the industry with somebody that's worked with just countless artists. And it was just such a you know, it's honestly hard to even like extrapolate upon, you know, just the level. Like, it's just so humbling to work with somebody on that caliber and to have learned from somebody like that over the years and all the doors that they opened.
Well,
Yeah.
that's the thing is it is such a door opening organization. You know, it's basically, so for those of you who don't know, it's basically I mean, it starts as like an after school type program for people who need a place to go. You know, it keeps kids off the streets. It keeps them, you know, like if their parents, like both parents are working or whatever, a place you can go and hang out. And it doesn't even have to be specifically music. It's just kind of a safe place.
Right.
But when you do get, and they've expanded even beyond music. I mean, they do, it's every part of the music industry that they offer, you know, to teach. It's editing, it's producing, it's video, it's, you know, it's gone so much further. It's great that they have those doors and they were able to open them to people by having, with Alice's connections, just being such a rock star, concert opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
The Christmas pudding show with the competition they have every year so that you kids can get an idea, kids and young adults, I should say, can get a chance to actually play on a major stage with major artists. And you've done that yourself, right?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
Surreal.
100%. It is surreal. Absolutely. For
Which
sure.
is amazing. And now here you are making music. I think something just came up in my Facebook memories from like 2017 or something like that. It
Yeah.
was, I had you in my home studio back in Phoenix, and it was
Okay.
for the song Believe It's Possible.
Oh my God, I want to hear some of that stuff. What the
Oh, I'm
heck?
gonna put it in the podcast now.
Oh, you're
I'm putting
kidding.
the, we're going through jams, the whole
It's like
discography.
Howard Stern now. No, sorry, Danny.
is Alice. I've wandered so far from home. I took a sip of pretty potion that took me down the rabbit hole. I've gained connection with the sky above. It has opened in its chest with an abundance of love. You better believe you can achieve the impossible. It'll never happen if you don't think that it can. You better believe you can achieve the impossible. Alice says to always think that you can. Always think that you can. Always think that you can. La-da-da-da. La-da-da-da. Filled me with hope at your tea party. Looking deep into your eyes, I saw a dream is like mine. Here at Cheshire, on destiny's doorstep, 27 butterflies, all bearing their own signs. You better believe you can achieve the impossible.
New single that is coming out, and depending on when I release this, coming out or will have been released February 23rd.
Right.
It is called Dead Flowers, and it's the first single off your upcoming album, which is your first full-length album, correct?
Heck yeah.
I do my homework.
Yeah. No, it's my first full-length. I was like determined to freaking put out an album finally. It was like, it just, the universe brought it all together. It really did. And it's awesome.
I don't know. I feel like in a way I've kind of been with you on a little bit of this journey because I've heard you talk about the songs and doing this album for a long time, in our past conversations and interviews and just being with you and talking about music and stuff. So I am very excited that this is finally coming to fruition and you're doing it. Probably not excited as you are.
I'm pretty excited. It's such a huge group of people that were a part of this. And it's so cool to just be able to collaborate with everybody that has been a part of this project. And it's an honor to bring a piece of art into the world with everybody that has like been a part of this. And I want everybody that has been a part of it to feel like they really are, you know? So,
yeah, that's wonderful. So this single,
I'm doing my best to do that too.
And you are doing it. You've always been so good about just putting that positive energy out there in everything you do anyway. And it really shows through your music. Of course. I mean, you're just meant to do all this in my personal humble opinion.
Thank you. Thank you.
But the single actually features another artist that I absolutely adore. And that's G-Love and Special Sauce.
Special Sauce. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How did this collaboration come about?
Well, it all started in 2018 at Cali Roots. Years ago, I don't remember even what was going on. I think I was on tour or something happened where I was in San Luis Obispo, or maybe I just drove out there for the festival, but there was like an opportunity to play at like one of the booths or something there. And my friend Shu Tescott was there. And, basically also Supermassive, which is this clothing company, shout out Supermassive Shop, check them out.
Nice.
But yeah, there, all these people were there, and, I just like drove up there, and G-Love just so happened to be on the lineup that year. And I was like, well, you know, G-Love is homies with Jack's peeps. And, you know, I'm like, I want to go like meet this guy and see what's up.
Jack Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kingpin of beach music. I think that's what he's dubbed. Something like that. So anyway, so I went up to G-Love and I was like, hey, man, like, my name's Jam. I've been working with, you know, some of the Ohana at Brushfire Records. Like, you know, I was like, oh, hey, what's up, dude? And then like one thing led to another. And I was like, we ended up going to Supermassive Shop. And like, I was like, yo, can we hook G-Love up with like some threads? And they're like, sure. And so now G-Love like was rocking some of their stuff and some of his music videos and stuff back in the day. And, you know, got to meet his wife too, who's just like such an angel, and just an honor to meet them. And he was like, hey, man, if you ever want to, you know, collaborate, you know, and you need a feature or something, like, let me know. And I was like, all right, for sure. So I hit him up, and it was an honor to have him a part of this. You remember, of course, the Catastro crew in Tempe, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I hit up Stravs. I don't even know what was going on. I was just like, I wanted to get into the studio, and I was like, hey, man, like, you know, would you be down to like record some music? I'm like, I don't really work with people outside of the bubble that I usually am comfortable working with, but mm-hmm. you're a super talented cat, and I would love to collaborate. And so went to the studio with Stravs, and we came out with some freaking gold.
Wow. That is amazing. So, it's just so, I don't know, pure and organic how it came about. And like,
oh, I can get all into the pureness and organicness of this whole album. That's a whole conversation, Danny.
Well, I'll just have you back when the whole album's out, and we'll deep dive into it for sure. Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
But I saw G-Love at one of the Vorta Fests up in Sedona.
Cool.
Brandon Decker's thing, and mm-hmm. And he was just hanging out in Sedona the rest of that night, talking to people, having a good time. He's just such a kind person.
yeah, and that's the thing that's so cool about, like, you know, like Mickey Dolenz, like, for example, the guy from the Monkees. I got to open up for him years ago, and there's something about just like dropping your ego when you get off the stage and just like being an empathetic human being with everybody. And it's like, just being that way is just is the way, in my opinion. So
I get it. My brother gave me some advice a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. It was before I was doing any radio stuff or anything like that. Terrified to talk to people, which, you know me, I'm not terrified to talk to people.
Sure.
I got over that. But we were out at Long Wong's in Tempe.
Oh, yeah.
Before, you know,
legendary spot.
You know, rest in peace, Long Wong's. It isn't there. A lot of Tempe bands started there, including Jim Blossoms. And
love those guys.
Robin Wilson was playing a solo set at Long Wong's. It was
cool.
And this was like early 2000s now, right? Before Long Wong's closed, after Jim Blossom stuff. And
right.
I brought my New Miserable Experience CD because I wanted him to sign it, right?
Oh, cool.
Because the song Allison Road.
Yeah.
That's how we decided on my older daughter's name, Allison.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because I love that song.
So
I was like,
cool.
I need him to sign the CD.
Aww.
Terrified. Completely.
Really?
He went to go take a smoke break.
Classic.
And my brother was like, let's go. And I was like, I can't. And he's like, Danny, they're just people.
Mm-hmm.
They're just people. And he went outside to go talk to him. Finally, a couple minutes later, I went out and they were just chatting it up, having a good time, talking about Tempe, because of course, grew up in Tempe, so they a lot of common ground. Yeah. And he signed the CD and we talked for a little bit and I was like, you know, I'm like losing my, but it's a podcast. I'm losing my shit. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, but those words from him, they're just people has right. helped me in so many situations in interviewing yeah. and talking to people and getting up in front of a ton of people for shows and things like that. So
yeah, no, yeah. it's funny. It's like
drop
public
your
speaking.
Ego.
Yeah, dropping the ego is where it's at. You know, and by admitting that you also have an ego, like I do, I have a total
me too.
Ego.
I often say that I didn't get into radio simply because I wanted to help people. I'm sitting here and I want to be a part of things. There's some ego involved.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
It's all in how you check it.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. And you can't change what you're not aware of. So, you know, even if you're not checking it, the universe will. So...
No confession, she's been messing around with who she meets. You could say it's my attachment style, but your style just ain't too sweet. Now we're at war, it's not like before. Walked out the door, you're keeping score as I served you something to eat. Your dead fly. Sovereignty, the reality is now you're just shackled up to him. Is it a warmth under your sheets? Your dead flowers, your dead flowers, they bring a renewed bloom into everything. Your dead flowers. Thank you.
You're listening to Scene Mom's interview with Jam on the Scene Mom Says podcast. Send any feedback to scenemomsays@gmail.com. Let's get back to the interview.
Dead Flowers, mm-hmm. the first single. Now, we've known each other a long time, and yep. I've known your music a long time.
Yep.
And the style of this song and the lyrics take a bit of a turn
from you think?
Peace, love, and harmony of your past music.
Yeah. Well,
now, you don't have to get personal if you don't want to, but what is the song about? What happened?
Well, you just have to listen to the song, you know, and it's left up to your interpretation for whatever it may be. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a piece of art. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's really left into the eyes of the beholder, you know, mm-hmm. you know, basically the song, like a lot of the music that I write is inspired by true life events. Sure. And dreams and perhaps altered states of consciousness at times. I don't know.
But
could be. But no, it's a song about a breakup. Yeah. It's like it was just my experience internally of what was happening at that time and just throwing it all on the page. You know, that's what it was.
I get it.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And yeah. you've always, I mean, all of your music just has always come from a place in your heart and soul. So, and that's the good and the bad.
Well, and the other thing too, is like, you know, people over the years, let's hear like something else other than just like positive stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Life is so like, and especially I learned that during the pandemic, I was like, man, like life is so like, it has its ebbs and flows and it has its like heaps and valleys and, there's contrast, yin and yang, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that like, you know, if you just put out one type of color into the universe, you know, you're kind of like leaving all these other colors unused, which is fine if that's what you, if that's what your intention is. But I don't think there's anything wrong with incorporating black, which technically isn't a color, into, you know.
I get it.
The work, you know?
So yeah. Know. And it's just human. There is not one human on this earth, and I'm convinced they're lying if they say so, that is mm-hmm. always happy and always content and mm-hmm. always positive. You know, it's sure. that's just not the human experience.
And then hopefully somebody else that's going through a difficult chapter in their life, they can hear this song and they can go, oh, okay, I'm not the only one out there that's going through something like this. I can continue to, you know, persevere.
That's the power of music too, I think, mm-hmm. is a way that we can all come together and reflect and just know that we're not alone. I think that's good. And I like it. I mean, it, you know, the song is great and I like
the messaging on the other hand.
Well, no. It's not even about the message. The whole tone of the song is a little bit different. It's like,
yeah. And well, that's because of Stravs too. You know, Stravs recorded it. So it's like,
okay. So it's like got a little bit more of his style in it too. Yeah.
know it's you I can't deny, and I know that you are all I need. That's why I look to you for everything. You're all I want, you got everyone saying, oh my, oh my, oh my. 'Cause you are one in a million. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Now don't stop because you're killing.
Also a podcast that is helping artists and others in their promotion.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch a little bit on the business end of, okay. of music for a bit. Do you feel like promoting as a musician has become easier or more challenging with social media, especially because attention spans have become so much shorter? I mean, we're all just sitting there scrolling, and even on places like TikTok, if it doesn't grab you within like 1 or 2 seconds, you're moving on. So
what are your thoughts
about promoting online as a musician?
It's not just online promotion, you know. Like, I have a show at Rebel Lounge on April 4th where we're recording a live album, and I've been telling, and like, I'm also performing every single day this week, sometimes like multiple times a day. And I'm promoting that show in front of hundreds of people, and I'm not posting about it, but I'm telling people, because music is a lot of the times through word of mouth. That's like, that's in talking about business, word of mouth is everything, you know. Like, the word on the street is that April 4th, there's going to be a live album at Rebel Lounge, you know? So, hey, check it out. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, that is how music has always been shared. And I think that that's something that'll continue to be true for a very long time. You know, I think that there's also an important element, you know, with online promotion though, too, that obviously you can't overlook and not respect. And like, sure, you can reach a bunch of people online, you know? And I just think ultimately, like, I think being human and sharing human connections and ideas with people in real life is where it's at, you know, but that's just my opinion.
No, I like the perspective, because so many people are wrapped up. I feel like people, musicians, whatever, it's become this world where everybody's so inundated with needing to be online and needing to do this. You need to post the thing, post the thing, make the video, post this, do that.
Who does it benefit? Does it benefit the artist, or does it benefit the people at the top?
And well, not even just that. It's just what I've been trying to do with my own business and helping artists and musicians, trying to kind of reel them back in and letting them know that, like, you're okay if you don't post, you know, just because you fall off some algorithm that was created to hook you.
Thank you for saying that. It's so true, because it's like, we have like this freaking tool. Okay. That's right here that George Orwell warned us about a long time ago.
Yes.
Okay. And it's like, significantly influencing our society in positive and negative ways. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I think like you look at somebody like Mark Zuckerberg, like I think I don't know him personally, but all I can say is like, sure, I think that like Meta has been, you know, it's had its positive attributes in the world, but at the same time, it has also had some very significant impacts on society that are not beneficial for society. And Zuckerberg would probably be one of the first people that would admit to that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. It's a funny thing. It's like, you know, I'm sure somebody that invented, you know, like the Wright brothers, when they invented the airplane, sure, they thought that death was a thing that could have happened, but they didn't know, you know, maybe the entire scope. Maybe they did. I don't know. They're pretty smart.
Yeah.
Pretty determined.
Well, and it's funny because I was going to ask you about staying balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But you've kind of answered the question just by the fact that you're right. You're not online as much as some of these other artists are. I mean, you pop in when you want to let people know some things, but you're not, I don't see a continuous presence from you. And it's that's just, not necessarily, I mean, I miss seeing you online when I'm looking and it's like, oh, look, Jam posted, you know?
Right.
But that's part of the excitement, I think, that's been lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, I think that like, you know, regaining that enthusiasm online too, I think that that's important. Like, I don't know. It's like, I just choose it. Social media is hard for me. Like, honestly, like I used to enjoy it more when I was younger, and maybe I'm just getting older, and content creation has changed so much in the last decade. The music industry is one of the fastest changing industries on the planet. Everything's changing so fast. I mean, look at this. We wouldn't, you think 5 years, you think when we first met, we'd have a conversation like this ever?
Never, never.
No. So look at us, I mean, yeah.
And that's part of the good, if you ask me. This is part of the good.
I agree. Yeah. This is the good. This is, yeah, because it's like you're in the comfort of your home. You're hanging out. You know,
I get
you're
to
enjoying
see you.
Yourself. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, hey, I think that there's positive aspects of it too. It's just like, they're like going back to that yin yang.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you say to other artists that feel like, you know, if they're feeling like they always have to, you know, you said you're not on TikTok. And I think that's very important to say that, because so much of the music world is got to be on TikTok, got to be on TikTok, got to go viral, got to go viral. So what would you tell other artists that are, they're trying to navigate what seems like an endless ocean and they're just treading water all the time, trying to keep up? What would you tell them?
Why did you get into art in the first place? Why did you get into it in the first place? I trained jiu-jitsu too. I got into jiu-jitsu after, you know, the pandemic, and Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is awesome. And basically it's like, you know, but I also compete in jiu-jitsu every now and then. A common thing that I like to ask myself is like, why are you doing this? Asking yourself, like, why are you doing this? Why am I doing this interview right now? Well, because Danny Cutler freaking rocks. That's why.
Stop. Tell me more about me. Come on.
No, but it's just like, it's a funny thing, because it's like, I think you get into art because, like you said earlier, it's something that you create for yourself to heal through. Like, you know, there's song, like, for example, when I went through this breakup, I was very broken, you know, and I needed an outlet. And so music has always been there as this healing modality. And that's exactly what happened, you know. And music was invented to be shared. And it was also invented to inspire and fill people with vibrations, you know, that make you feel a certain way. And it's a gift to be able to do that. But you also have to determine what your purpose is in this life too. That's also very important.
Set sails off to dreamland, where you can grab my hand, it'll be okay. Take a dip into my dreams, where our minds can stream so far away. Have a look around, there is so much to be found. Deep within, our oceans turn wild, hues of emotion. Moves like you on the silver screen of my mind. unless you seem to come my way. Twisted up in fantasy, pleasure to deceive leaves me astray. Have a look around, there is so much to be found. Deep within, our oceans churn wild hues of emotion.
Well, Jam, how can people find out more about you and your music and hopefully pre-save singles coming up?
So if you go to jamnowmusic.com, or if you just type in Jam Now on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, all that good stuff, you can find me. You can also search, I don't know, I think if you search James Austin Murray or Jam Austin Murray, that comes up too. But the band
that's
is
weird.
Called, my name is James Austin Murray. This is the funny thing. Like, people think that my given name is Jam. Okay. It's really funny.
It's Jammy Jam.
Yeah. That's my nickname. It's also my initials, and it just stuck. Okay. But James Austin Murray is my whole name. Jam are my initials. Jam Now is the band. So go check out Jam Now on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, all that good stuff. Yeah.
And I will link to everything in my show notes for this episode. Jam, it has been wonderful catching up with you and talking about everything. And I want to thank you for, I don't know, your openness and just laying your heart out there.
Aw, well, much love, Danny. I appreciate you. And just want to send some blessings, positive energy to everybody listening out there. Thank you for your support, and peace, love, and positivity.
Met at Tempe High in 86. She was a freshman, he was a junior. She asked if the seat on the bus was taken. It was a love almost forsaken. The time put the pieces together. Love is a treasure. It's always getting better. Love is a treasure. Sailing to the secret island where the sun set in their dropped her the question under marshmallow skies, from the salt to the fresh water, came two precious daughters as the salmon swam to Allison, to Sam. Time put the pieces together. Love is a treasure. It's always getting better. This love is a treasure. Yeah, this love shared together.
I had to end the interview with that very special song. It's called Love is a Treasure, and it is not released by Jam. I hired Jam last year to write a song for my husband and my 30th wedding anniversary, which was last March, and he more than delivered. Such a sweet song. I hope you enjoyed the interview. He, like I said, is just a wonderful human being, such a talented musician, and I will have links to all of his music in the show notes and the music video for Dead Flowers as well. I also have another interview coming up next week, my first New England artist. I'm very excited to speak with her and share her music with you. I've actually played her before on the show, so you've had a hint. If you're a continuous listener of the show, you can check out her music. It's also on the Just the Music Spotify playlist, and you can find all that in the show notes as well. And as always, you can send any feedback to scenemomsays@gmail.com. Hope you all have an amazing week, and you'll hear me again soon. You've been listening to the Scene Mom Says podcast. Intro outro music is Look Good for the Radio by Fairy Bones. Learn more about Danny and the show at dannycutler.com.